Today on The Journey.
Fresh faith never stops. We see that all through this story. Abram kept going south. Sometimes we read he journeyed on, still going. A life of fresh faith keeps moving.
Don't stop believing. The title of Journey's iconic 1981 song could very well sum up the life of Abraham. Not only did he find faith in the living God, he refreshed it every day of his life. In this half hour, Ron Moore takes a careful look at that faith so we can be participants in Abraham's legacy. Just before that, I want you to note Ron's joyful holiday publication titled Advent, Preparing for Christmas. Within its pages, you'll find thoughts and activities to make this Christmas the most meaningful and uplifting ever. Advent is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a message titled, Abraham, On the Journey.
We've said that Hebrews 11:1 is a great description of faith. Faith is the assurance. Remember, that word means confidence. It means substance of things hoped for. And we saw that word meant certain expectations of the future anchored in what God's done in the past. And so faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the certain expectation for the future based in the past, and the conviction of things not seen. Two things there. Conviction, remember, means proof by test or demonstration. And then the word things means a thing accomplished. So this beautiful description, faith is what we know to be true. It's the confidence that certain things are going to happen because God's done those things in the past. He's going to do them in the future. And then we act upon them. So we use that description for this definition. Faith is the active trust and belief displayed through obedience. And we see that in all the people that we are looking at. Okay, last time we looked at the life of Noah, and today we are going to see lessons from the life of Abraham and Sarah. So we're looking at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived in the land of promise as a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city that has foundations whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who promised. And therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand on the seashore. So go back to Genesis, the source of this story when it's first told, and let's look at verses 1 and 4 of Genesis 12. Now, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I'll show you. And then verse 4, so Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So Abraham is well along in years, and he lives in Ur, and Ur is a pagan city. They worship a god named Nanar, the moon god. And it's important to note because there is no evidence that Abraham was a godly man when he was living in Ur. And God reached down and called Abraham to himself. So there's the first principle of fresh faith. Fresh faith begins with a call from God. Think about that for a second. What did God use in your life to bring you to himself? But just know, you responded because God moved your heart to respond. Salvation is of the Lord. So fresh faith begins with this call from God. And there are two parts of this call. First is the call to salvation. And then there's a call to this new life that God has for us. And that's summed up in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10. This is just the key verse in the Christian faith. It reminds us that for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of anything I did. So again, it wasn't Abraham's doing some good stuff. I want him on my team. God plucked Abraham from a pagan society of Ur so that no one can boast. So that's the call of salvation, right? Then here's the call to the new life. We are his workmanship. That word's a beautiful word. It means masterpiece or his work of art. We've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. So fresh faith begins with this call from God. All right. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. So here's Abram's call to leave the land of Ur, his country, his relatives, all his stuff. And he's got a lot of stuff. He leaves him behind. He's asking Abram to trust him. And he asks us to do the same thing. Trust me. If you can trust me for heaven, then you can trust me all along the way. And then God gives this great promise to Abram. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And there is absolutely no way that Abram could know the significance of that promise, could he? He was a pagan in Ur. Somehow the glory of God appeared to him. God gets his attention, kind of like Paul on the road to Damascus. And now he's following God, and God says, I'm going to make you this great nation. I got great things to do for you. And you know what? When God says, you're my workmanship, I got great things for you, it's like we can't even begin to think of the significance of that. Second one, fresh faith calls us to obey. Abram left Ur, and he went up to Haran with his father, Terah, his wife, Sarai, his nephew, Lot, and they settled there, and God blessed them materially. Look at chapter 12, verse 4. So Abram went from Ur up to Haran, as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother and all their possessions they had gathered and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. So God's call in his life was radical. He told him to leave Ur and all the stuff there, sends him to Haran, acquires all the stuff there, and here he goes into a future that's unknown. And he's 75 years old. And the thing God promised him was still seeming impossible. I'm going to give you this great nation. Chapter 12, look at verse 6. Problem going to Canaan was there were some enemies there. At the end of verse 5, when they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak tree. And at the time, the Canaanites were in the land. So there are people in the land that, if he's going to give him this land, God's got to get rid of the people. Abraham doesn't know how that's going to happen. But here's what Abraham does do, and this is significant. Here's the third point. Fresh faith always acknowledges the person of God. Look at verses 7 and 8. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give you this land. But God, there are Canaanites here. And we'll worry about that later. So he built there an altar to the Lord which had appeared to him. And from there he moved to the hill country, to the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And then he built another altar to the Lord. And then we have this great phrase there, and called upon the name of the Lord. So here Abram demonstrates this fresh faith that acknowledges the person of God. He desires to call upon the name of the Lord. Okay, chapter 12, look at verse 9. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward Negev. Here's the fourth fresh faith principle. Fresh faith never stops. We see that all through this story. He kept going to the Negev. He kept going south. Sometimes we read, he journeyed on, still going. A life of fresh faith keeps moving. You're in the Word, you're worshiping, you're connecting, you're serving, you're sharing, you keep moving. Sometimes I think we get caught up on the will of God and we just sit still expecting God to put something in the clouds. But God speaks most clear to a moving servant. And that's what we see in Abram's life. He keeps going. He moves here and God keeps him going here. He gets in Canaan, God says famine, got to go to Egypt. Fresh faith keeps moving. God chooses him to be the father of the nation of Israel, but he wasn't perfect, was he? No one in chapter 11 is perfect. Look at chapter 12, verses 10 through 13. Now there was a famine in the land, so he goes down to Egypt. And when he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. You're so beautiful that when the Egyptians see you, they're going to say, this is his wife, and they're going to kill me, and they're going to let you live. So say, you're my sister. Lie to them that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared. So that was not a spur-of-the-moment decision from this man that God had chosen. It was a thought-out plan. The danger was real. Powerful rulers take what they want. You don't believe that? Just ask Uriah. David took Bathsheba from him. And Abram had trusted God for many things, but he took matters in his own hands. And that's what we see over and over, right? Trust, trust, trust. Nah, not with that one. I can move from Ur to Haran, and then I can move from Haran to Canaan, but I can't trust you with this. And you guys know the story. Verse 17, the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, what have you done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? So I took her for my wife. Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. And Pharaoh gave the men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Number 5, fresh faith forges through failure. Abram didn't quit. God still used him in a powerful way. The whole Old Testament is going to be about Abram's family and basically God working with Abram's family. And Jesus is going to come through that family, even with Abram and his failures. They say failure is not fatal. It can be if you let it, but it's not fatal with God. And he forgives and he restores and he gives opportunity to move on with fresh faith. Fresh faith forges ahead in failure. Okay, Abram 75 years old when the promise is made. At that point, Abram and Sarah have this great promise. You're going to be the father of this great nation, but no child. So now, fast forward 10 years, still no children. Sarah got tired of waiting on God. Look at chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. God's fault. Go in to my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. She's taking matters into her own hands. Hagar, again, probably was given to them in Egypt 10 years prior. The promises of God are certain. His delays are not denials. But Sarah says, I can't wait any longer. By the way, in that day, that was legal. You could do that. Hagar became what was called a pilgash, the wife of secondary rank. But what's legal in the land is not always right in the sight of God. So Abram should have said, Sarah, that's a bad idea. I'm the leader of the family. We're going to wait on God. But he didn't. And so Genesis chapter 16, verse 2, so he listened to the voice of Sarah. In verse 3, he took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant. She gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. Again, wife of secondary nature, of Pilgash. And he went into Hagar and she conceived. And then all heck breaks loose in the family. Abram's having these great faith moments, but he has these lapses. So Sarah gives him Hagar, took matters in her own hands, goes against his plan, and their plan worked. Hagar was pregnant by Abram. Look at the end of verse 4. He went into Hagar and she conceived, and when she saw she had conceived, she looked with contempt on Sarai. With contempt means she thought of Sarah as smaller, or it means become little in one's eyes. And so now she's looking down on Sarai. Sarai's still barren. Hagar thought she was greater in the household. She's going to be more accepted by Abram. And she felt she had moved from secondary rank to first rank. The tension got so thick between Sarai and Hagar that it was too much. And so Sarai says, Abram, you got to do something about it. I love verse 5. Sarai said to Abram, may the wrong done to me be on you. Abram's going to say, what are you talking about? It was not my idea. May the wrong done to me be on you. It's your fault. I gave my servant to your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me. She draws the line. Abram, it's either me or her. Now think about that. He has a son. And once again, he gives in. And Hagar takes her child. And she takes off. And Hagar starts back toward Egypt. Anytime we try to accomplish God's plan by our own methods, we make a mess. Other people get hurt. Things get complicated. We act out of the flesh. We inflict pain. And then we do what Sarah did. We blame God and those around us. That's what happens when we get involved in sin. Now, the tension of the story turns for just a little bit here from Abram to Sarai. So let me tell the story real quick and then give some principles. 16 verse 7. So Hagar flees. She's headed back to Egypt. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness. And it's not just a normal angel. It's a deity. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I'm fleeing my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her. That's a tough one, isn't it? The angel also said, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for a multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are pregnant. You're going to give birth to a son. You're going to name him Ishmael because the Lord is listening to your affliction. Ishmael means God hears. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen. So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are a God of seeing, or you are a God who sees. She said, truly, here I have seen the one who looks after me. And she, again, named him in Hebrew, El Roy, or the God who sees. Now think about this. She has a baby, and God says he's going to be a wild donkey of a man. Not necessarily a flattering description. Wild donkeys inhabit the desert. And it also depicts them as being very independent and headstrong. He's going to fight against everyone, and everyone's going to fight against him. Warren Wiersbe says it this way. While we must not apply these traits to every descendant of Ishmael, the centuries-long hostility between the Jews and the Arabs is too well known to be ignored. The Arab nations are independent people dwelling in the desert lands and resisting the encroachment of other nations, especially Israel and her allies. The other part of the story is great, and it's this. Hagar meets God, and she gives him this great name, El Roy, the God who sees me. some principles here. First of all, fresh faith waits on God. Wait on Him for His work and His time. 7, fresh faith demands obedience. Abram's faith in chapter 15 faltered in chapter 16. You can't live on yesterday's successes. Again, fresh faith has to keep coming, demands obedience. 8, fresh faith understands that decisions we make today matter for tomorrow. Think about the decision Sarai and Abram made that still impact us to this day. And then the last one on this section, fresh faith knows the names of God. El Roy, the God who sees me. So if you ever feel you're going through a tough time, just think about El Roy, the God who sees you. You're not out of His sight. Just think about that name this week. El Roy, the God who sees me. Chapter 17, verses 15 through 21. Let me read a few of those. God said to Abraham, "As for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her Sarah, but Sarah. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face, and he chuckled to himself, "Shall a child be born to a man when he is 100 years old?" Remember, Hebrews said that the child came when Abraham was as good as dead. 100 years old. "Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, this is a great conversation going on here, right? Abraham said, "God, that's really good, but okay, ain't going to happen. So, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And I got one son. Ain't going to happen through Sarah. So let's just let Ishmael be this child of promise you're talking about." And God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you're going to call him Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I got plans for him. I have heard you. Behold, I blessed him, and I'm making him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall be a father of 12 princes, and shall make him into a great nation," which he did. "But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this time next year." And I don't have time to go through all, but you guys know the story. Remember, at this time, Abraham's like 99 and Sarah's 89. And then when Sarah hears the news, she laughs out loud. And God says, "Why did you laugh?" And then she said, "I didn't laugh." And God said, "Yes, you did. You laughed. I'm going to do something through you that only a miracle." That's the last one. Fresh faith trusts God for the impossible. Jot down a couple passages. Jeremiah 32:15. "Ah, sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." Remember Luke 1:37? Angel goes to Mary and says, "You're going to have a child." And Mary says, "I don't think that can happen." And what's the angel say? "For nothing is impossible with God."
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next time together. Does your frantic holiday schedule threaten to push the true meaning of Christmas to the back shelves of your mind and heart? Would you like to recapture the wonder of the season and share it with friends and family? Well, you can do that with Ron's holiday guide titled Advent, Preparing for Christmas. It shares devotions and activities crafted from carefully selected scripture readings. There, Ron helps you rekindle the anticipation of Christ's first coming and celebrate His joyous arrival on Christmas Day. Advent, Preparing for Christmas, will enrich your spirit this holiday season. It's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Now here's Ron with a look at our next broadcast.
This is a test of obedience to a clear command of the Lord. Those who believe in the Lord claim to obey God's word, or at least agree to obey God's word, but to what extent will we really obey it?
We trust you'll join us for that message next time. And please visit our website to order your copy of Advent, Preparing for Christmas. It'll give each day of the holiday season joyful meaning as Ron guides you through the Advent calendar. Advent, Preparing for Christmas, is available for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron Moore's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org, biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.